Okay, well, thank you for being here today. Thank everyone for being here. We are one Messiah congregation. We just never know who's going to show up here. That's just the way our little congregation goes. But I'm happy you're here, and I'm happy everybody on Pow Talk is here. We're Jews and Gentiles that believe in the Messiah, but we believe we're all the one, and we believe we're all the Israel of God. And today is the February 17th, as everybody knows, 2007. I keep track, of course, as you guys all know by now, I keep track of God's calendar. We're in the 11th month, the 28th day. So that's today's date. Praise the Lord. And if anyone doesn't know about the calendar, we can go through that later, okay? You go up one screen, please. There you go. Now, to prove that verse, no, would you go up to prove that verse, you go to Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7. And if you wanted to know where I got the word Shabbat from, in English it's Sabbat, okay? This way everybody knows that. I just always put down somewhere where you could verify what's going on. For everyone's information, this Sunday night, is Rosh Chodesh. So Sunday night is the first day of the 12th month called Adar, okay? And that's what that says in Hebrew, Adar. And you might want to say, well, where did I get that from? You go to Esther chapter 3, verse 7. And that's where you see it right there. So this Sunday, if everybody, wherever you are on this planet, if you get online Sunday night, we'll be online reading all the verses about Adar, the 12th month of God. So this way we introduce, you know, people that don't know that. You know, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be participating in going to these lectures with the professors from Vanderbilt. So I'm going to go see what they're saying in the Judaism world. So I'm going to, I don't know, I might see what the Lord's going to do there. I always have a plan with them, and we'll see what they're up to starting Wednesday. So I'll keep you guys informed on what the professors say at Vanderbilt here, because they are very, very intellectual. So we'll exchange information. But anyway, I always tell people, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And this study I did is a conglomeration of studies I did this week. I don't know if everyone follows my website. I try to send them out during the week, but it's little pieces of it, segments of my life that I go through. You know, this week I was sort of inundated with just how everything is so away from God. No one thinks of God. Everything has polluted God. It's just drowned me this week. So sometimes I have to shut it off because it could really, you know, put you in a negative mode. But I have to think of the apostles and the prophets. I have to think of the people before me. They were also, you know, hit with, you know, apostasy. So the Proverbs 17:13 says, whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. And I see this happening constantly. When we try to tell people the truth, people try to reward us with evil. I don't know if that happens to anyone in this room. I'm sure it does, if you try to like make straight the way of the Lord. Book of Isaiah, this is the prophet Navi Yeshayahu, prophet Isaiah says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So woe unto them. You know, this is the Sabbath of the Lord, and, you know, you might say, well, you know, a lot of people would probably think today we should talk about something sweet. I always try to talk about whatever I get from the God. And this is what I see constantly, people doing this. They call evil good, good evil. They put darkness for light. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. A lot of people are very prudent in their own sight. They've figured out the way they think things should be and the way things should go, and they just figured it all out, you know. But I'm going to rely on the Lord. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. I'm sure you know a lot of people like that, right? And men of strength to mingle strong drink. And that's also spiritually, too. That's besides physical. Which justify the wicked for reward. They take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. This scripture below, you know, and before I even get into this, There's so many scriptures in the world of the Protestants and in the world. I hear constantly on a weekly basis about, you know, scriptures misinterpreted. So this scripture I wanted to talk about today, this scripture below explains why Protestants, they explain it wrong. They think that this scripture is talking about unsaved Israel, unsaved Jews, and it's not true. If anyone reads this scripture slow, Genesis 12:3, I'll read it really slow because I don't know how anybody could misinterpret it. It says, "I will bless them that bless thee." Who is he talking to?
Abram,
right? "And I'll curse him that curseth thee." Abram, right? "And in thee, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So this scripture is to all the nations, the families of the earth. In other words, the heathen. God is going to bring the Gentiles into the fold. And to prove that, you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Apostle Paul says, "Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So in other words, the children of faith are the children of Abraham. Does everybody hear that? It says, "And the scripture foreseeing God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abram, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed." So, just by looking at that verse, I don't know if anyone here is familiar with what I'm talking about. On TV, a lot of times you hear big Protestant ministers saying, "Oh, we can't talk about Israel, you know, and we got to all just send things to Israel and bless Israel and we'll be blessed and don't curse Israel." But it's not even talking nothing about that. It's talking about Abraham, and it's talking about all the nations, the heathen, that are going to come into the fold. It's not talking about unsaved anybody. Yeah, if you don't have the Messiah, it's not talking about you, in plain English. Now, I'm not telling you to go persecute Israel, of course, and I would never tell you to do that, because God always has a remnant according to the election of grace, okay? And you shouldn't persecute anybody. You know, you shouldn't treat anybody bad. But I'm saying, I'm just talking about this verse, how it's mistranslated, misinterpreted. And here's the rest of the verses. Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This is a question, of course. But I'm just saying, when you see the words, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through Abraham, we're talking about, how do you think that's going to happen? Through Abraham, through Isaac, and then through Jacob. God, through the Messiah, was going to bless the nations and bring salvation to whosoever. In other words, that's exactly what the blessing is all about, salvation. Genesis 22:18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou obeyest my voice." And then in 26, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God's the same message was handed down to them, because through their lineage the Messiah was going to come and bless the nations. Salvation was going to be brought. Does anybody understand that verse now? Do you see how that verse is not just on a lot of? No, what I'm trying to get at is a lot of Protestants think they get a special blessing if they just donate to Israel. That's ridiculous. That's not what it says. That verse has nothing to do with that. Right. We're going to get into how Abraham is not Jewish, first of all. We're going to get into that. The whole thing's ridiculous. My mind went into so many false doctrines this week, and obviously I couldn't write them all down because we'd be here forever. But I just wrote down a couple because I just thought you might want to see this. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways." See the little word pernicious? You really need to understand that, the meaning of that. By reason of whom the way of truth, who's the truth? Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, and anyone who's following him, shall be evil spoken of. So these false teachers, these false prophets, are going to really try to damage you if you're telling the truth. Now, it says right here, the word pernicious, it means causing insidious harm or ruinous. It's deadly, fatal. In other words, that's what their pernicious ways are. Something, and this is an eternal spiritual death, too, because you don't just die physically. I mean, when you hear a doctrine, you don't die, right? You're not dying physically. No, but it's killing your soul, because if you fall for it, you're doomed. So you got to understand that. There's so many doctrines out there. I don't know if anyone here has ever heard of the dual covenant theory or theology. Anyone ever hear of that? This is such a sickening doctrine. It basically says in so many words that the Gentiles have one way of salvation and the Jewish people have a different covenant with God. And some ministers are espousing that and they're broadcasting it. And because of their statute in this world as prestige, on the prestige ladder, they influence millions of people. And this is terrible. It says right here in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. In English, it's Jesus. In Hebrews, Yeshua. You can't get saved through anybody else. I mean, if you kept the commandments all day long and you fasted all day long for weeks and months and you lived on the highest mountain peak with the biggest beard and you don't have the Messiah, you're still lost. I mean, without the Messiah, you're lost. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. So if you don't have them, what do you got? So that's a simple definition of the dual. That's what's going on in the world. A lot of Protestant ministers, I don't know if they're afraid to or they're hesitant to witness to rabbis or hesitant to witness to Jews. They're thinking like they got the secret wisdom. There's no rabbis in the Tanakh. And this is the one thing that hurts my mind every week about no one really understands the difference between Jews in the Bible and Jews in Judaism, that everybody today is just flooded with Judaism. And that's a real nightmare to me. The church, this whole concept about the church and Israel, there's no such thing. I mean, I'm sure if you went home right now and put the TV set on, they're talking about they're the church and Israel is over there, like there's a separation. No, there is no such thing. There's no church and Israel. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles, the nations, should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Supposed to be the same body. What does that sound like, two different bodies? I always hear when these ministers are on Trinity Broadcasting, I'm going to be naming a lot of names today because, you know, I like being on record that I said all this. Different big TV evangelists, they're always separating. The Israel's over there, and they're the church. But I see that we're supposed to be the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ, the Messiah, by the gospel. Ephesians 2:16, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 4, He's telling this all to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Now, the reason, in my congregation here, you might think I say this kind of stuff a lot. Believe me, I don't say it enough, because when I leave here, nobody in the world seems to like get it. I wish I had a loudspeaker that went to everybody's eardrums and say, listen, it says, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. So in other words, there's not two bodies, there's not two gospels. There's some messianic organizations that have definitely separated the body of Messiah, because they say there's two different gospels. There's different Bibles out there. Even that messianic Bible that everyone's got, David Stern's Bible, has that in his New Testament commentary Bible, which is really ridiculous. Anyway, that's another doctrine that's floating around. And when I say these doctrines, I know I'm brushing over them very lightly. There's thousands of people that believe every one of these. I'm not kidding. I might even have, it might be even tens of thousands, because some people's organizations are enormous. So I know I'm brushing it over probably a little too lightly, but it's really nauseating. Now, the replacement theology is really sickening. Instead of even separating the church and Israel, some people, at least that way, there's a church and Israel, but these other guys became Israel and they threw away the church. That's really weird. Romans 11:1 says, Paul says, he's telling the Romans, had God cast away His people? Did He? God forbid. For I'm an Israelite, Paul says, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away His people. which he foreknew, what ye not what the scripture said of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying? But what saith the answer of God unto him? You know, a lot of times you might feel like, oh, there's nobody but me. You know, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one around. I'm the only one. But God has people in many different areas. I was talking to a brother recently in Mississippi. You know, a lot of times he feels like he's the only one there. But lo and behold, in little sections of Mississippi, he found another brother here, another sister, another. I mean, they're around. You just may not know where they are. So Elias had to be told, I have reserved myself 7,000 men which have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So even so, at this present time, this is very important. There's a remnant. There's always been a remnant according to the election of grace. That is really important to memorize. That's why I always tell people, hey, treat everyone with respect. Don't come against anybody. But make sure you set the gospel straight. Preach the same gospel to everybody. And the Lord will give you the words to speak to everybody because, you know, it isn't like a canned pitch. You don't say the same exact words to everybody. But you'll be led of the Spirit of God because the Word is Spirit. And you make sure you try to help everyone. Jeremiah 31:35 says, thus saith the Lord, who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If it says, if those ordinances up there were to depart from me, God says the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, that's not happening, basically. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, you think you can measure heaven? Anybody?
No.
Haven't measured
some. Even 14
billion light years. Yeah, right. If the foundations of the earth were searched out beneath. Did you know they still haven't found certain parts of the ocean, the bottom? I know that for a fact. Wow. I will even cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So God's not, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And you never know who the remnant is. That's why I say, I'm careful with everyone I talk to. So that was a few false doctrines. Even though I mentioned them very lightly, it does take in many, many, many people. Now, this guy right here, everyone's heard of Mr. Pat Robinson, right? Remember him? He's a nice-looking guy on TV, older gentleman, you know, sort of astute-looking. He's into this Sunday, replace the Sabbath of the Lord. He's got his book, Ten Offenses. I need to get a copy of that. But in the introduction of his chapter, The Sabbath Commandment, Pat says, we should carefully avoid being legalistic about the Sabbath, lest we become like the offensive, oppressive religious leaders of Jesus' day. Doesn't that sound like about everybody you ever heard of? It's legalistic.
Did he really say that Sunday... I don't think he said Sunday replaced the Sabbath of the Lord. He still says Sabbath is binding. It's still Sabbath. It's just we're not
no,
bound
that's,
to it.
Right, that's just the heading I put up there.
Okay.
Right, he didn't
okay.
say that. He said this other thing down here where it says...
more crazy because he believes it's still the Sabbath, but he...
Well, this is what it says in the... it says Sunday is biblically, in biblical times, what's called the first day of the week. This is what he says. Really? And then he quotes some verses. Since this was the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that they used Sunday as the Sabbath because they say Yeshua, Jesus, was risen on the first day of the week. So they automatically just turn that into the Sabbath. How could that be? That doesn't make any sense to me. They held their meetings on Sunday. Where does it say that in the Bible? Rather than Saturday, a custom developed, the Christian Sabbath or a day of rest and worship became Sunday. So this is something that developed, and this was the day established in law in America. I mean, you know, you say to yourself, like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to follow that? I mean, we do follow the Catholic, that's a Catholic thing.
The Seventh-day Adventists didn't like that.
Seventh-day
Adventists.
Listen how crazy this is. I had to put these words in here. The church, on the other hand, after changing the day of rest, they call it the Jewish Sabbath. Where does it say that in the Bible? It says, on the seventh day of the week to the first day, they call the Sabbath the third commandment. That's because this. Now we're talking Catholic stuff. We're talking Catholic Bible. They don't even they don't even count. I mean, they got their whole commandments all mixed up. I put the Sabbath as the fourth commandment. Refers to Sunday as the day of the to be kept holy as the Lord's day. And this is the Council of Trent, and this is the source down here. You, if you ever go on internet, you can get on the Catholic Encyclopedia. There's an online edition. And if you ever go on your online edition Catholic Encyclopedia, you'll find out all kind of things that will shock you. When they created purgatory, and when they created Mary ascended into heaven, and there's certain days for everything. It wasn't, I guess they just add things like the Talmud. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, exactly.
So they just change things. So that's the source. You can look it up on the website. And the Council of Trent, I just want to note, they call it the Sacred Ecumenical and General Council of Trent. I don't know if they can make the title even more, you know, like, could you make it more under the sovereign, the pontiff? He's Paul III. He's the Ecumenical Council of the Roman Catholic Church. And this Trent, of course, is in northern Italy. This, there was a lot of sessions, actually, of the Council of Trent. There's a bunch of sessions. They changed, they keep mending it and changing it and adding things. This was in the 1600s, okay? That's you say 1600 because it was in the 15 something. Now, getting back to Pat, and I don't mean Pat Boone. He probably believes the same thing, probably. Anyway, or Peter Pan. Anyway, Pat asserts, according to God of the Bible, Sunday belongs to him. Christians have worshipped on this day throughout time. The point is that for centuries, Sunday has been the one day that belongs to the Lord. Pat. See, I want to get the book and write down all his quotes. That's, I'm going to have to get that book. But Pat's no different than anyone else. I don't mean just to pick out Pat. We pray that Pat would wake up one day, because Pat's only got, he's got 9 commandments. But if you ever go to their on TV, they're always healing everybody, and there's miracles, and there's like, you know, everything going on. You ever go to Pat's website? I don't know if anyone here. Or go watch Pat on TV. They got like more revelations and visions per day than I ever heard of. Matter of fact, I see them just shutting their eyes, and I feel someone out there right now just got healed of a toe. I feel right now. Oh, wait a minute, I'm feeling somebody right now. Their eyebrow was falling off. You know, and I'm like, I don't believe none of that. I got to be honest with you. Now, you know, God, if I'm wrong, please let me know. But I just kind of, it's hard for me to believe that. It's just hard for me. Because, I mean, they're only getting healed on that segment of their TV show. Why couldn't they get healed like a day ago, you know, without this segment of that TV show? I mean, you have to wait for that guy to say, oh, I feel, I just feel something. But anyway, calling up these guys this week, Ray Comfort, I think he should change his name, because he does not comfort me at all. Ray Discomfort and Chris Kurt Cameron. Now, these two guys, they could be doing a wonderful work for the Lord, you know? They couldn't really be doing a wonderful work, except for, there again, and the reason why I bring all these people up, like Pat, the reason why I'm bringing Pat up and these two guys, because these guys have such a giant audience that you would blow your mind. It's staggering, all the people that listen. And the only reason I bring them up, not because I'm just picking out something out of the doctrine, they're actually teaching you to break the Sabbath. That's the reason why I'm bringing them up. And just like I brought up Zola Levitt and his website. He actually, on his website, well, he's dead now, but he was teaching people to break the Sabbath. You know, I realize most Protestants, they're all mixed up anyway. I don't just pick on just... Well, when you start teaching to break commandments, that's when I get excited. If you go, there's the website. You can go click on it later if you don't believe me. They twisted everything you ever heard. These guys put it in a paragraph, a few paragraphs. And it's called Freedom from Keeping the Sabbath. Yeah, I mean, really, these guys... I mean, when I think of these guys, you know, they got like, go to their website because they have megabucks. You know, they got the flash and the best websites you can imagine and videos and just everything, you know, the best. But that doesn't impress God. That doesn't impress God. If you're teaching people to break the commandments, the Bible says you're the least. You're called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But on earth, they look like the big time. But in God's eyes, he looks different at things. Many pastors and church people do not understand this scripture. If you break the commandments and you teach men so, you will not be in heaven. Did you know that? You're not. Some people got it mixed up where they think that I could break the commandments, I'll just be the least in heaven. I'll be like the janitor.
Holier than
No, no. Can I say that no long enough? No sin will enter the kingdom of heaven. It says right here, the people in heaven will call you the least, the worst. If you're sinning, you're not going to heaven. Does everybody agree with that? How much sin is going to be in heaven?
None.
I mean, you could ask anybody the answer to that. Zero. So that scripture is misinterpreted by Protestant people. It says, and this is Matthew 5:19, whoso therefore shall break one of the least commandments, he's talking about even the least one, you know, whatever you think is the least one, yeah, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least. That little word in right there also means by. See that word in? In the Greek, it also means by. It says in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do the commandments and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So just think, if you're teaching people the commandments, you might be thinking like, you know, you just walk around sort of pouting, like you get no respect or you get no credit. But the people in heaven, they think you're the greatest thing on earth. You're teaching people to keep the commandments. You can't see it now. That's why it's a drag. But, I mean, there's probably parties. The angels are probably like doing like I can't even imagine. They're like, you know, they're teaching people to keep the commandments. I mean, let's put it this way. If there's joy in the kingdom of heaven over one sinner that repents, could you imagine the kingdom of heaven rejoicing over one sinner? I can't even imagine what that means. There's probably billions of angels and things that I can't even imagine, and creatures, and they rejoice over one sinner that repents. I mean, we can't see it down here. And if you're in the flesh, you get clogged with, you know, you can't get out of this room, basically. You know, you're stuck here on this earth. But if you're in the spirit, you can see different things. You know, you can see, like, there's things going on that blow our mind, that would blow us away. So this scripture is another one that's wrong. The scriptures tell us and should tell you, no sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians says very clearly, verse 27, chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it, meaning the body of believers, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I mean, you can't even have a spot. That means you can't even rob a pencil. That's a spot. You can't cheat. That's a spot. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. I mean, think about it. I mean, that's pretty scary, actually, you know, that it should be holy without blemish. Could you imagine that? Do you know any churches that have no blemish? I mean, I know this. Don't judge me, brother, but wait a minute. I use the word of God because we are gods. We are judges, like the Bible says, and yeah, I could use the word of God to say, yes, I see spots. I see blemishes. I see unholiness. I see it. 1 Timothy 6:14 says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever think about that? Keeping something without spot? In my house, I always, you know, I'm like sort of get once in a while a little, you know, nitpicking, you know, I try to pick up every little thing, you know, a little thread, there's a thing, I can't get, in my house, I can't get it all. I see a spot, a thing, a piece of paper, you know, and I'm like, ugh. But that's how, you're supposed to be more zealous spiritually, trying to get no spot. You see any spots on me spiritually? Hope not. You know, you got to check yourself. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in shalom, in peace. Make sure you're found of the Lord without spot and blameless. Just think, you have to show up before the Lord. You know, when you die, you want to die and just make sure that, just before you die, you want to say, okay, yeah, I'm blameless. Okay, I'm blameless. Because if you die and there's any doubt, even doubt is sin. So you got to make sure you're blameless. Ugh. Think about that. Because no blame, no sin is going to get by God. You know, he can't trick him. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise, that means forget. That means in New York, forget about it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defile it, neither whatsoever work it an abomination or make it a lie. You can't even lie, a little lie. Even a little lie ain't going to heaven. But they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that scary? One little lie will hinder you from going to heaven. Ugh. I mean, I always think, you know, why would you settle for just a little stupid... I know people that just lie for no reason. They don't even have a reason to lie. They just make stuff up. And I'm thinking, well, you didn't have to make that up because that didn't even matter anyway. You know, I've met people that told me lots of things anyway. Ephesians 5:27, I read that. So holy without blemish. I wrote that twice. Oh, boy. Maybe I should have said it twice. Anyway, the scripture tells us if you teach people to break the commandments and serve other gods, you are evil. That's all I could think of. I don't care how many followers you got. I don't care how many millions you got. I don't care how, if you own the whole United States, you're evil. Deuteronomy 13:1 says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Now this is it. This guy is he's saying he's a prophet, and he's telling you a sign and a wonder, and it comes to pass. But did you check the message? The message has to match the word. So even if a prophet comes to you and something comes to pass, make sure you check the message. Okay? Because this it says right here, and the sign of one to come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go serve other gods, which thou hast not known. Let us serve them. Right? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. It's a test. You're being tested. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. See, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's not like, what's in it for me? It's Him. 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 Your God. Obey His voice. You shall serve Him. Cleave unto Him. Wow, that's a different message. You never hear that. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, you shall put to death. That's what God says. Oh, I don't like that. It's too strong. He's trying to kill your soul. He's trying to get you to worship. Just think, if somebody got you to go worship another god, he's doomed and you're doomed if you die. We're talking about eternally, too. I'm not talking about just, you know, for today. We're talking about forever. That's the problem. Because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And everyone I know was brought out of Egypt, even spiritually, in other words, your life of sin, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away, see what it says, evil away from the midst of thee. That's why it's evil for people to do this.
That's what the Muslims do now. The Muslims do that.
Yeah, the Muslims are doing that. We should do that too. I like to go... No, I can't say on my tape. If it says, if thy brother... Now listen to this. If your brother... That's, now we're talking about not your spiritual brother. We're talking about the son of your of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife, or thy of thy bosom, or thy friend. Is everybody catching this? Which is as thine own soul entice thee secret, saying, hey, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers. Namely, the gods of the people, which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor even hearken. You're supposed to go like, ugh, I don't even want to hear that. You're not supposed to even hearken unto him. Neither shalt thou thy eye pity. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. You're supposed to, oh, that guy's trying to turn me away from God. Oh, but they don't like that. It's Lashon Hara. No, it's not Lashon Hara. You're supposed to make it manifest. This guy, this woman or this guy is trying to turn me away from serving the Lord. But thou shalt surely what? Have a party for him? Have a prayer meeting for him? No, it says You're supposed to kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. Now, you might think this is like really, I'm trying to say it like real drastic, and it's, those words are drastic, but you got to think about really the repercussions.
Right.
If you die an everlasting death, that I don't even know, I can't even express, you'd want to kill that guy a million times because he's trying to make you lose your eternal soul. Think about that. I mean, that sounds harsh, but in the if you put it in the right perspective, that's nothing compared to, like, we're talking about that person's trying to get me to lose my eternal soul forever? Think about that. I mean, think of the volume that really is. It's more than what it says.
Well, we'd shoot an intruder if they come into our house.
Yeah.
We do that, so we don't, for eternity, we don't care.
Well, we don't want no one to come into your house spiritually. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he had sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Whew. Boy, that's a tough message for today. What was that verse we read last night in Exodus? We read last night that you're not even supposed to worship anybody that worships any other god besides the God of Israel should be put to death. Wow. You know, pretty soon what I'm saying right now, I'm going to show you a little bit as we go down on this study. Soon I'm not going to be able to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway because, yeah, I'm not going out slipping on a banana peel. I'm letting you know that. I'm going out with a bang. You know, you're not going to hear I slipped in the bathtub and banged my head. You know, I'm going to make a stand for God, right? Don't you guys want to do that? I mean, do you want to go out? Right? Something silly. You want to go out doing something for God? If you go out doing something for God, I know the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I mean, that's like, you can't even, that death, you don't even remember that. You'll be in the kingdom of heaven. You'll be with the other martyrs. You know, somebody in Revelations, this is going to happen to somebody, because it says in Revelations, these people are praying that they have to rest a little season, that their fellow brothers and whoever are going to be killed as they were. Yeah. The fifth seal? Yes. So that's going to happen. Now, I'm not trying to, don't get me wrong, I'm not excited about getting killed, but I'm saying it could happen to anybody for the Lord. If you're making a stand, if you're just nobody that's doing nothing, of course nothing's going to happen to you. But if you're talking to people and you become a little controversial, yeah, something might happen. And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is done. If thou shalt hear, it says, if thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God had given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Oh. It says, then shalt thou inquire. So you always inquire first. You just don't go receive an accusation. Like somebody says, hey, that guy is... You don't go say, you got to make sure you inquire and make sure it's true. And you make search and you ask diligently, okay? That's what you got to do. You don't jump the gun or be presumptuous. And behold, if it's true and the thing's certain and such an abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely have a barbecue with them? No! It says you're supposed to smite the inhabitants of the city with the edge of the sword. I mean, the whole city? What kind of God is that? Destroying it utterly and all that is therein and all the cattle thereof? I mean, we could have kept the cattle and made some burgers. No, you're supposed to destroy everything. With the edge of the sword. You know how hard that must have been? You know how much work? I can't even imagine those swords. We're not talking about those little knives we got today. We're talking like those big swords. They're probably like, you know, 30, 40 pounds. I mean, those guys weren't little... As Arnold would say, what does he call them? Girly men. But they're probably powerful. And thou shalt gather all the spoil. You get all the spoil in the midst of the street thereof. And thou shalt, what, go sneak it in your house? No, it says you're supposed to burn it with fire. Shall burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof, every whit for the Lord thy God. And it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. That's how serious God takes it if anyone's trying to get you to serve another god. That's pretty serious. I mean, you know, that's really serious. Okay, next. And there shall, it says, and there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand. I mean, you can't save like maybe a Babylonian garment or some shekels or some, there was a nice picture there. No, nothing. It says cleave naught. It's supposed to cleave to you. You're supposed to be like, ugh! It's supposed to be like filth to you. It's a cursed thing to thine hand. And the Lord may turn, it says that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show mercy, praise the Lord, and have compassion upon thee and multiply thee as he had sworn unto thy fathers. I know a lot of people don't think of things that are like you know, things that are really curses to God. People just, oh, yeah, it's a curse to God. No, it's supposed to be, you're supposed to detest it to the extreme ability, like it's like a filth. I mean, but nowadays, filth is the way of life, right? Nowadays, you know. It says, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments, to keep all his commandments, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. You know, the eyes of the Lord are like watching everybody. God's looking at everybody's mind, every heart, every checking everybody out. He knows everybody's thought. Isn't that scary? I always think about that. I think about that, not constantly, but sometimes. I thought about the other day again where, let's say wherever you go in your life, there's somebody behind you keeping track of everything you're doing. Because you're going to give account one day. It's all recorded, everything that you're doing. You know, it's like the, you're recorded. Caught you sneaking, caught you peeking, I caught. And you can't say later, I didn't do it, because they got the exact second, the date, the thing. So if you don't repent, it's all written down. Isn't that scary? I mean, I know there's somebody following me, so I'm always like making sure, okay, well, I'm making sure everything's okay, you know. Now, I know some people don't want me to talk about Ellen White. You know Ellen White? Now, I know she kept the Sabbath, I know. But she don't know about the Feast of the Lord. She missed all the Sabbaths in the Feast of the Lord. There's Shabbat Shabbatons in the Feast of the Lord. Plus, she has some really interesting visions about planets and the tall people on Jupiter. Of course, the scientists already, you know, they proved her wrong. I mean, you know, you can ask some astronomers. They think she's ridiculous because they know all about, you know, how many moons every planet's got. And, you know, so all I can say, be watch out for her too. Her little teachings are everywhere. They were all gassed to death in Jupiter? Okay. So anyway, but there's some people that still believe in Ellen White, even today. I mean, I don't know if certain people, I don't see them anymore. They're not here, but they still think Ellen White might be something. Is she in the Bible? I never read of her. Maybe she's in the book that was lost. Anyway, I didn't know how to title this. I put some news. I wanted to put some just like terrible news. If you diss, it means if you talk against the gay, you can go to jail. Did you know that? Soon, in different countries, and they're trying to introduce that in America. And there's the website. I didn't want to write all these articles. I figured you can go read them yourself later when you get home, so you can copy these websites and put it in your browser. And, these activists warn Christians targeting under the new hate crimes. This is the proposal they're trying to install into our government. Pretty soon you can't even say nothing about homosexuals. Oh, hate crime. Lock her up. 20 years. She said it was an abomination. I mean, these gays, they don't even like the word natural family. It's a derogatory. It's derogatory to gays. The natural family. I mean, think of that. They don't like that. They don't like the natural family concept. But I want you to go on these websites later, and you could just read the article. I didn't want to print the articles. I mean, just the thought of that. I mean, just someone even saying they don't like the idea of a natural family. I mean, that's ridiculous. Even that's absurd.
Yeah, what? All these articles, child molesters, they never mentioned that they're gay.
Right, child molesters. A lot of them are gay.
Yeah.
That's right. They never mentioned that. Matter of fact, our news lately, I don't know, it's starting to dwindle down, but it's so like inundated with that lady that was a slob or whatever she was, sex symbol, or she's dead, she died. But they don't even tell you all the other things that are going on in the world. There's like, there's so many things going on, like, you know, people funding Nazi rallies, and I don't even want to get into all that stuff. But anyway, next, I'm just trying to cheer you up. Now, here's some things I heard this week. Jesus kept the commandments for me. Some girl at the Way of the Master. Way of the Master is Kurt Cameron's site. How does Jesus, could anybody in the room here, could anyone tell me, how does Jesus keep the commandments for you? Could he? Did he? I don't even make any sense, does it? The wording on that is like not logical or... Jesus kept the commandments for you. Anyway, that girl at the Way of the Master, she's got the wrong master. I don't know. Some other man, he's an ex-Jesuit, he's 80 years old in Canada, he's trying to tell me there's five Elijahs. Five Elijahs?
Didn't Jesus keep the commandments to prove that through him we could keep the commandments?
Yeah, he didn't keep them for you.
Right,
that's right. Jesus kept the commandments to show that, yeah, you can keep the commandments and they're not grievous.
Right.
Exactly. That's different. Right. That's true. Well, wait a minute. What do you think about five Elijahs? You missed that one. That one too fast.
We heard that one we heard last night. We heard she was talking about the Elijah prophecy.
There's a big Elijah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
The Elijah.
Elijah's going to come on people in America and it's going to lead them.
Yeah, he hasn't come yet.
Right. Judaism. Right. Judaism has crept into a lot of the Christian worlds where a lot of people are waiting for Elijah to come. They don't believe Jesus because he said he came already.
She's a Christian. She wasn't a Christian.
She's a Christian that says that, and there's the Jews started that in Judaism. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the law of return in Israel. That's a whole document in Israel. You can look it up anytime. But this chief rabbi, he's sort of causing a big stir in Israel right now. Rabbi Shlomo Amar, he proposed amending the law of return so that the converts to the three principal streams of Judaism, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, will no longer be eligible for automatic Israeli citizenship. He wants everyone to follow the way he believes in his Lubavitch way, and they're trying to even be like, it's almost like a racial discrimination, I guess racial, or some kind of discrimination of the way people believe. And I mean, this is causing an uproar right now in Israel because this guy's trying to put it to the government. And you can read the whole article. Let's see here, where am I? It says, in the law of return, which was in 1950, the following section shall be inserted. This is after section 4, rights of members of the family, the rights of a Jew under the law, and the rights of an ole is someone that makes aliyah to Israel. So it's someone that makes, that's what ole means there. It says, under the nationality law, as well as the rights of the ole under any other enactment, are also vested in the child and a grandchild of a Jew, a spouse of a Jew, the spouse of a child of a Jew, the spouse of a grandchild of a Jew, except for a person who has been a Jew. And now it says, you hear that? Except, did everybody catch that? Except for a person who has been a Jew. If you're a Jew, does everybody listen to this? Except for a person that's, you've been a Jew and all of a sudden you voluntarily changed his religion. In other words, you cannot be a Jew if you change your religion in Israel, you're not a Jew anymore. Did you know that? You could be a Jew for 50 years and then all of a sudden you want to believe in, worshiping yo-yos. All of a sudden, you're not a Jew anymore. I mean, this whole thing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with any of this. This is how hard it is to be to go to Israel, to move there. It's immaterial whether or not a Jew by whose right, a right under subsection A is claimed is still alive and whether or not he has immigrated to Israel. The restrictions and conditions prescribed in respect of a Jew or an ole by or under this law or by the enactments referred to in subsection A shall also apply to a person who claims a right under subsection A. This is sort of legalese kind of deal, but just to make a long story short, here's the definition. For the purposes of this law, a Jew means a person who was born of a Jewish mother. In other words, you're only a Jew if you have a Jewish mother. Or has converted. You become a Jew if you don't have a Jewish mother, but if you convert to Judaism. Or, but check this out. You're not a member of another religion. Because if you're a Jew and you're a member of another religion, then you're not a Jew. Is that crazy or not? Does everybody see that one little sentence? How ridiculous and unscriptural that is? When I say crazy, I should use unscriptural. I think they just never read the verses in the Hebrew Bible, in plain English. Abraham's father, Terah, was from Ur of the Chaldees, the land of his nativity. They're not Jewish. Ur of the Chaldees is modern-day Syria, or Babylon, or, you know, Iraq or something. Genesis 11:27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haram. Haram begot Lot. Haram died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So this is where it all began there, folks. It began in Ur of the Chaldees. Terah, Abraham, you know, Abram. Everybody knows who Abram is. That's Abraham, right? Okay. Genesis 19:29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and he's old, and he don't know what he's doing. And I put that in there. Doesn't say that. And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. You think that was a good idea?
No.
I don't think so. No. I mean, that's so ridiculous. They just decided what to do. Isn't that nice? And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. He must have been really smashed.
Yeah.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that he may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were the daughters of Lot with child by their father. That's sick. And of course, of that, future nightmares, this is the birth of it, you know, the Genesis. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Baami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Isn't that sick? Now, remember Rebecca? Remember, but Rebecca's like she's like a real important lady in the Bible. However, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebecca to wife. Isaac, he married Rebecca. Who's Rebecca? Oh, she's the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. Oh, you mean Rebecca's father is a Syrian and her brother's a Syrian? What does that make Rebecca? Oh, that's really hard to figure out. Maybe she just ate bagels and she got Jewish. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Isaac, that's so ridiculous. Rebecca's father and brother are Syrians. Like, it says, looks like Jacob's and Esau's mother, Rebecca, is a Syrian, making them also Syrian. Genesis 28:5, and Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebecca. And Jacob and Esau's mother. And we're talking about Jacob's mother was Assyrian. We were talking about Jacob that had the 12 tribes. His mother's Assyrian. You know how they say today, hello? I mean, you know, wow. You never hear Judaism telling you this. Because they want to be the pure blood. Where the Jew, you know, This what pure blood? What are we talking about? Genesis 31:20, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. We're talking about like Rebekah is the mother of Jacob. Remember Jacob? He later was changed his name to Israel. Wow. His name was Israel, right? Okay. That's why they're called Israelites, because they come from Israel, from Jacob. And God came to Laban the Syrian in the dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. So Laban's still a Syrian there. He didn't change. Deuteronomy 26:5, and thou shalt speak and say unto before the Lord thy God, a Syrian. Now this isn't Deuteronomy. This is Moses talking, and he's making reference to Jacob, and he's saying, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, you know? Isn't that interesting? He calls him a Syrian there too. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. So even in Deuteronomy, it's mentioned that a Syrian ready to perish was my father. But that you're never going to hear that in Judaism, never. Anyway. Moses is talking here. Deuteronomy 26:5. And there's the word right there. It says, Arami, Arami, Oved, Ami. Arami, Oved, Ami. That means a Syrian ready to perish. Looks like... So does everybody see that? Okay, it looks like Joseph's wife... What should be was. Could you change that, please? Was not Jewish... Joseph's wife was not Jewish. Joseph's wife was not Jewish. Of whom was born Manasseh and Ephraim, that everyone's dying to be Ephraim and Manasseh. Oh no, their mother's not Jewish. Yeah, she's Egyptian. I'm like one of those guys that just like reads the Bible. I mean, you know, Genesis 41:50. And unto Joseph was born two sons before the years of the famine came. There she is, Athanat. Oh, Athanat, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. She bare those two sons unto him. What do you think of that? Who's she? What priest is that?
People online say, uh-oh, they're not Jewish.
What kind of priest is the priest of On? I mean, you know, Genesis 46:20, and unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim. God always makes sure he says things a bunch of times, which Athanath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. Now these are online. I want everybody online to hear this. So if you're dying to be Ephraim, then you're part Egyptian. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, you know. Now this one really gets me, because Judaism says you can't be a Jew unless your mother's Jewish. Okay? Well, I know they never read this verse. King Rehoboam's mother was not Jewish. King Rehoboam's mother was not Jewish. Naamah was an Ammonitess. Remember the Ammonitess? Where'd she come from? The Ammonitess came from Lot.
Lot's daughters.
Yeah. Where'd Lot come from? Haram. Where'd Haram come from? Terah. Where'd Terah come from? Ur of the Chaldees. You got to get that whole little procession down. Because then you start thinking, where's the Jewish connection? Oh, maybe they had a latke somewhere. Or they had some lox and bagel. How did they get to be Jewish? Anyway, 1 Kings 14:21. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam is the actual son of Solomon. Solomon's the son of who?
David.
Now, Rehoboam's the son of Solomon. He's 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose. I mean, the Lord didn't choose Nashville? I thought that the Lord didn't choose Texas. Oh, it says the Lord chose Jerusalem out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Wow. And his mother's name was, what's Rehoboam's mother's name? Naamah. And what is she? The Ammonitess. She's not Jewish. You're trying to tell me that this king that's sitting on the throne is not Jewish? He's sitting on the throne. He's the king. If nowadays they would say you're not Jewish, Rehoboam. He'd say, boing, I'm the king. That's what he would say to them. I mean, you know, he's the son of Solomon.
That'd be the lineage of Jesus too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, down the road. Yeah, down the road. Yeah. I mean, isn't this an interesting little put together of words? I like saying this a lot because I say this a lot through my life because I know it's sometimes hard to sink in, but once you start going, well, this one came from here, then you say, oh, that one came from there, and this one came from here, and oh, that one came, and you get back to the origin, it's like, wow, God is no respecter of persons, and it's really to whosoever will, because there's no perfect blood stuff.
So David's great-grandmother was a
Gentile. Yeah, David's great-great-grandmother was a Gentile, Ruth.
Yeah,
David, the king of Israel, what? She's not Jewish. The way they're thinking, right. That's the way Judaism is thinking. Rehoboam, he slept with his fathers. That's what I feel like taking. Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to sleep with my fathers. Wait a minute. I want to sleep with those fathers. You want to make sure when you die, you want to go sleep with the right fathers. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. What's the city of David?
Jerusalem.
Okay. And his mother's name was, what's his, Naamah, the Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. I guess they didn't know back here that, I guess the people back here didn't tell them, well, Rehoboam, according to the law of return, you can't even be in Israel because your mother's not Jewish, and you can't be the king. Get out of here.
Abijam obviously couldn't be either then.
Of course. No, see, now that there's Abijam, he's the son. Now it just goes down the lineage. Everyone, you know, if the root is something, you can't change it later on. I mean, you know, you can't change your ancestors, right? Anyway, this blows the whole being Jewish thing, huh? 2 Chronicles 12:13. So Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem, and he reigned. And Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there.
Right.
And there again is Naamah. That's his mother. Hi. Naamah the Ammonitess.
It's funny how that gets put in. You know, obviously it's put in for a reason.
Put in for a reason, so you know that. Why would...
Who cares? Yeah.
I mean, there's no other reason for God to put that in there. Because
right.
He doesn't really ever talk about women. But he makes sure he knows that Naamah's an Ammonitess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to that. Ezekiel, remember Ezekiel?
Yep.
16:3 that said, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, the birth, listen to this, the birth, listen to what Ezekiel says. I still can't figure this out. Thus saith the Lord unto, he's saying this unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother was a Hittite. What does that mean? I mean, I don't know what that means yet. I got to figure that one out. That's the Lord saying that. That's, I mean, the Lord knows better than us.
Wow.
It says, thou art my mother's daughter that loathed her husband and her children. Thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Wow. What's up with that?
Wow, it hurts my head.
Did he say that your mother was a Jew? He didn't say, tell them their mother was a Jew, right? Anyway, beware of what you read as fact. Everything that you hear that you might think is a fact, make sure you go check that out too. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Anyway, the reason why I believe, the Bible says we're all from one blood. Apostle Paul says it in the book of Acts. So we're all in this together, and the gospel, the salvation of the Messiah, Jesus, is to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we're going to stop here, take a break.
If there's any questions,
anybody have any questions?
Gretchen's asking, is he saying a Jew is not a Jew, but a follower of Yahweh is his people?
A real Jew is someone that keeps the commandments of God. Apostle Paul says a Jew is not one.
The house of Israel.
If you don't join the Israel of God, you're not a real Jew. A Jew, yes, a real Jew is someone that accepted the Messiah, keeps his commandments, reads his word, doesn't change his word. In other words, we are real Jews in the truest sense. In the truest sense, we are all real Hebrews because we came from the region beyond. We are the Israel of God. There isn't two bodies, right? What's a Ruth question? What's a Ruth question? The Jews not supposed to mingle with Moabites, right? That's right.
But unless they join them, I think that's the question.
Okay. Here's the question. Let me answer the question. Ruth is a different kind of lady because God definitely knew her heart, and her heart was towards the Lord. She said to Naomi, "Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die." She definitely surrendered to the God of Israel. And she lived in Israel, it says, for the rest of her life, it says. So she definitely turned into a Jew in the real definition of the word. She's actually the great-grandmother of Jesus, Yeshua. Oh, man. Could you imagine that? A Moabitess is actually the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. So Moab means heathen. Well, she was a heathen, but she's not anymore. All right, the Bible says anyone can join the people of God at any time. Once you join the Israel of God, read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. Once you join the Israel of God, you become as the homeborn. There's no difference. But you got to be born again. Right. Lunar Sabbaths only belong in fairy tale books. There's only one Sabbath. It's the seventh day, and then there's Sabbaths in the Feast of the Lord. There's no lunar Sabbath. The moon was created on the fourth day. The fourth day was not the Sabbath. 3 days later was the Sabbath. Okay, does everybody hear that? The moon was created on the fourth day. That wasn't the Sabbath. 3 days later was the Sabbath. Okay.
Moses didn't marry a Moabite, did he?
No. Moses, he married an Ethiopian, right. He married Zipporah. Remember her? Moses had a couple of wives, actually, didn't he? Or a couple of concubines. Anyway. Can that is not Sabbath talk. Okay, then he took another. Anyway, I want to say to everybody on Pal Talk around the world, go to my website, oneofmessiah.net. Oneofmessiah.net, they'll type it for you. I got to fix some errors on my webpage. I'll fix those a little bit later. Yes, come and visit us, Gretchen. You're invited to come and visit us anytime. Anybody that wants to visit us, you're invited. We're not far from you. Especially with this thing called airplanes. you could be here anytime you want. Praise the Lord. Will I be back later? Lord willing, I will be back later. I might be back later. Thank you very much, Simcha Torah. God bless you. Is the airplane kosher?
The peanuts I get are.
Praise the Lord. Gretchen, where do you live, Gretchen? Where do you live, Gretchen?
No.
Where does Gretchen live? Iowa. Okay, make sure you bring some potatoes when you come. Oh, it's Idaho. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from New York. Okay, God bless you. Shalom and praise the Lord.